ask the Lord to lead us in this part of our period. Now, loving Father, we pray that in this abbreviated part of the period, Thy Holy Spirit will lead us in a special way and make it to count for all eternity. And we ask that Thou wilt use the mid-semester grades as a mighty weapon in Thy hand to make us more like Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. On page 46, we come to the threefold division of Moses' life. The Bible says that Moses lived to be 120 years of age. And since he lived to be 120 years of age, his life naturally divides itself into three parts, 40 years in each part. The first 40 years were spent in Pharaoh's court. The second 40 years in the wilderness, keeping the flock. And the last 40 years in the wilderness, leading the children of Israel. How did God use the first 40 years of Moses' life to prepare Moses for his life work? The main thing God gave him at this time was a knowledge of the Egyptians. Now you see, later on he was going to stand before Pharaoh in Pharaoh's court. But Moses had already been in Pharaoh's court. He knew his way around, so to speak, because he'd lived for 40 years in Pharaoh's court as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then he not only needed the knowledge of the Egyptians to stand before Pharaoh, but remember, Egyptians were among those whom Moses led out of Egypt. A mixed multitude went with the children of Israel. And this knowledge of Egyptian life is one thing God was giving him. Now let me give you this caution about the fact that Moses was trained in all the learning of the Egyptians. If you read this passage in anything like a fair-minded way, you'll see that this is very much the exception rather than the rule. Some people have tried to make this to be the rule rather than the exception, that you just ought to go to some ungodly college or university and get your training. No, what you have to face is this. Does God want you to get your education from the enemies of God? Oh, that's one thing that looms large in my thinking all the time. Does God want me to go to his enemies to have the enemies of God educate me? And I think one of the greatest Bible verses in this connection is the opening verse of the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So don't make Moses to be the ordinary pattern. The whole thing about his life was very unique, very unusual in this connection. Therefore, if I know a Christian who has gone to an ungodly school, I can't say I know 100% certainly that he's missed God's will, because Moses didn't miss God's will in going to the training of Egypt. But I know that there is a big possibility that he has missed the will of God. At the end of these 40 years, Moses killed the Egyptians. Yes. Oh, yes, I was. But suppose, let me give them to you right now. What facts about this thrilling story indicate how remarkable it was and what God was accomplishing through it? The miraculous preservation of the infant Moses. The first thing is that Satan's plans backfired. The second is that God used a little thing like a baby's cry to change the whole history of the nation. The third thing was the naming of Moses. Now remember what the name Moses means. It means to draw out. And he was called Moses for the obvious reason that he was drawn out of the Nile River and his life was preserved. Isn't this an interesting thing? That Moses is the great Hebrew leader and the great Hebrew lawgiver. And yet we don't know him by his Hebrew name. We know him by his Egyptian name. This was his Egyptian name. The margin says the Hebrew Masha means to draw out, but it's just brought over from the Egyptian language. He's known by his Egyptian name. rather than his Hebrew name. The rabbis tell us that his Hebrew name was Joachim. J-O-A-T-H-I-M. They just get that from Hebrew history outside the Bible, and it may or may not be true. The J on the front of the word is the name Jehovah. That's his Hebrew name, but you've probably never even heard that before. And I wouldn't have heard it unless I'd been preparing to teach this class. We think of him as Moses, but that's his Egyptian name. Now, do you see God's hand in connection with it? One value of this name was that it constantly reminded Moses of his supernatural preservation. When he was a little baby, God supernaturally preserved his life. And this name just kept it before Moses all through the rest of his life. In order to understand that, please remember that proper names meant more to the Hebrews than they do to us at the present time. For instance, is there any girl in this class named Margaret? The word Margaret is the Greek word margarita, which means a pearl. But when you say Margaret, you don't think of a pearl, you just think of Margaret. Anybody in this class named Irene? Irene is from the Greek word eirene, which means peace. But when you say Irene, you don't think of peace, you just think of Irene. But when the Hebrews gave a word, they thought of the meaning of that particular word. Moses' mother would call to Moses, and she'd say, Moses, come here. And the thought would automatically register in his mind, drawn out one, come here. And you see, all through the rest of his life, God was just constantly reminding him of that supernatural preservation when he was a little baby. Could I ask for a show of hands on this? How many of you were either old enough to remember, or if you weren't old enough to remember, somebody else has told you that when you were very small, you came very close to dying, or in some unusual way, God intervened and spared your life. Could I see your hands? Good many. Keep that before you over and over again. And when the devil tries to sidetrack you or to discourage you, just remember, God had a purpose in saving your life. He could have let you die when you were a little baby. He could let you have died earlier in life, but he didn't do it. He has a purpose for you. And you see, that's one way God kept Moses from being sidetracked for God's plan for his life. And then this name also had value because it reminded Israel of God's supernatural hand on Moses' life. You see why it was valuable that this name should remind Israel of God's supernatural hand on Moses' life? It's because it would give authority to Moses, who was called of God to lead the children of Israel. For example, one Israelite would say to another, I'm going to hear Moses speak. And it would automatically register in his mind, I'm going to hear the drawn-out one speak. In other words, you better listen to him because God preserved him. God could have let him die when he was a little baby. But God didn't let him die. God's supernatural hand is on his life. And it automatically gave great authority to the ministry of Moses. Then the fourth thing God was accomplishing through the miraculous preservation of Moses was the supply of needs for many years. You see, he supplied Moses' needs for 40 years. And then he supplied Jochebed's needs for 7 years. You know who Jochebed was? Amram, A-M-R-A-M, was the father of Moses. And Jochebed, J-O-C-H-E-B-E-D, was the mother of Moses. The word Jochebed means Jehovah is glorious. It's a wonderful name for a Christian mother to have. You see, she had her own needs supplied for several years. Historians remind us that Orientals, as a general rule, take longer to wean a child than Occidentals do. The Bible says that Moses was under his mother's supervision until he was weaned. And Orientals usually take about 3.5 years to wean a child, longer than Occidentals do. So you see, during that time, Jochebed's needs were taken care of. Isn't that an unusual thing that a mother was paid for taking care of her own baby? Well, that's what the mother heart longs to do. And yet, under the sovereign hand and control of God, her own needs were supplied. And Moses' needs were supplied for a period of 40 years. At the end of the first 40 years, Moses killed the Egyptian. Although his act was a terrible sin of murder, what did it indicate that God had wrought in his heart during these 40 years? It indicated that God had wrought in his heart love for the people of God, love for the despised people of God. Well, students, that's a great test in the Christian life. Do you really love God? If you and I really love God, then we will love the despised people of God. And if we don't love the despised people of God, we don't really love God himself. One reason why that's such a test is that God is perfect, but the people of God aren't perfect. But oh, that's a test. Do you love the despised people of God enough to take them to your heart along with their imperfection? Many people have been sidetracked from God's plan for their lives because they said they loved God, but they denied it because they didn't love the despised people of God. I love the reference to this in Hebrews 11:26 from the New Testament. Hebrews 11:26 in the New Testament says that Moses accounted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Isn't that wonderful? Put these two words together. Reproach and riches. He counted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. One person made this interesting suggestion. He said, do you realize that if Moses had made another choice, he might have been very famous to us along an earthly line? Probably you students remember reading about King Tut's tomb. King Tut was a famous leader in Egypt, one who died and they mummified his remains. And some years ago, they unearthed the remains of King Tut. And the person made this statement. If Moses had gone along with the Egyptians and not with the despised people of God, we might have been visiting Moses' tomb today, just as we visited King Tut's tomb, but not at all. He counted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. One reason I like to use Hebrews 11:26 is that it's a wonderful key verse in understanding Old Testament saints. Some years ago, one of the faculty members and I here at the Bible College had a discussion about this question. Is it accurate to call Old Testament saints Christians? You know, the I-A-N on the end of the word Christian means belonging to Christ or a follower of Christ. Is it right to call Moses a Christian? Is it right to call Abraham a Christian? And at first, his suggestion, which he later changed, was this. I don't think we ought to call Old Testament saints Christians, because Acts 11 says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I think we ought to use the word Christian in its historical setting. But later he told me he changed on that, and I'd already changed on it, because I don't have any hesitation about calling Moses a Christian, or Abraham a Christian, or Daniel a Christian. You see, this verse, Hebrews 11:26, doesn't say that Moses counted the reproach of God greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. It doesn't say that. Of course, that's true. But it says that he accounted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses was a follower of Christ. Moses was a Christian. The second 40 years of Moses' life were spent in the wilderness of Midian, showing detail how God was using these 40 years to prepare Moses for his life work. I find three ways in which these years prepared Moses for his life work. The first is that he came to know God. He came to know God. I like to call this his unlearning process. I don't care what kind of education you had. Here at the Bible College, we seek to give you a true Christian education. But because you're a sinful human being, you'll find that one of the main parts of the learning process is the unlearning process. You have to learn and unlearn an awful lot of things that you thought were true. Now, certainly that's true of Moses, since he was trained in all the learning of the Egyptians. You know, I get a great blessing from this. Moses wrote the story of creation in the Bible. And I want to tell you, that story of creation he wrote in the Bible was very different from the Egyptian ideas about creation. Oh, the Egyptians had the wildest ideas about the physical universe. For instance, what causes an earthquake? The earth is resting on an old turtle, and every now and then the old turtle turns over. That's what caused an earthquake. That's just a little illustration of the wild ideas they had. But you see, Moses didn't reproduce any of those. He didn't give you any of those when he wrote the story of creation, when he wrote the book of Genesis. Not at all. And one reason this is so important and so valuable is that Moses unlearned a lot of things. You students, for the most part, aren't up in years, but you've still got an awful lot to unlearn. And one reason why real Christian education is painful is that you have to go through the unlearning process. I'm nearly 57 years old now, and I want to tell you, I keep unlearning. I keep on learning an awful lot of things that I used to think were true. Well, the Bible doesn't give us all the details, probably from his mother. That would be the inference, although it's only an inference, you see, in reading the story. The Bible doesn't give you all the details. But undoubtedly, these 40 years when he was alone with God was a big part of the learning process. We don't know how long she stayed with him. She was with him until he was weaned. That would seem to be clear. How much beyond that she was with him, of course, we don't know. Then the second thing was that during this period, he came to know Moses. Now remember, you don't make a goal out of knowing yourself. If you make a goal out of knowing yourself, you never will know yourself. But don't quote Socrates, who said, "Know thyself," as though that's a good Christian axiom, because it isn't. You know God, and the byproduct of knowing God is understanding yourself. But let me illustrate this from Moses' life. See, after the first 40 years of his life, you have in Moses what I like to call the big I am. Moses himself is ready to deliver the Jews from their oppressors. He murders the Egyptian officer and hides his body in the sand. That's the big I am. He's ready. And then you see at the end of the next 40 years, you have the little I am. Moses is called of God to lead the people, and now you have the little I am. He says, "Oh, I'm not eloquent, and I'm not able. People won't listen to me." Now remember, the little I am is just as much pride as the big I am. The little I am is just as much pride as the big I am. And then you remember when God appeared to Moses out of the burning bush, God gave him this revelation. He said, "I am that I am." That's the secret of Moses' life. You see, the little I am had to be crucified. And the big I am had to be crucified. And the life had to be centered in the great I am, God himself. Then the third thing Moses came to know during this period was the land, the wilderness. Let me ask you, how many years of Moses' life did he spend in this wilderness? The answer is not 40. The answer is 80. You see, he spent the last 80 years of his life approximately in this wilderness. Because this was the same wilderness where he led the children of Israel for 40 years. Now, little did he know that, when he was there in the wilderness keeping his father-in-law's flock, little did Moses know that he was going to spend another 40 years there leading the children of Israel. But you see, first he led animal sheep, and then he led human sheep through that same wilderness. So Moses was really much at home in that particular wilderness. You know, I get this great thrill through studying the early life of Moses, that when I'm in God's will right now, God is preparing me for what he has for me in the future. You know, people often say, now are you sure you're getting the training you need for the future? The only question to ask is this: are you sure you're in God's will? And if you're sure you're in God's will, then you can be absolutely sure you're getting the training now that you need for the future. On page 47, we'll have Moses' call in just a moment. Yes, the Moses' father-in-law is called Jethro. Myself pronounced the Bible, pronounces it Jethro, but I just use the commonly accepted pronunciation. Is that people think you're wrong if you say Jethro. Jethro and Reuel, R-E-U-E-L. The double naming of people was very common in Bible times. They often had two names. And notice, these names are very similar. J-E on the front of the name is Jehovah. And the E-L on the end of Reuel is Elohim, God. And you see, one of them is just the name with Elohim in it. The other is the name with Jehovah in it. And it was very common to have the double naming of these Bible characters. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Jethro and Reuel were the two names of Moses' father-in-law. On page 47, we have the final preparation of Moses for his life work. The final preparation of Moses for his life work was a complete revelation of God. Now, that's the all-inclusive preparation for what God has for you and me in the future. It's a complete revelation of God himself. A lopsided vision of God always results in a lopsided Christian. A lopsided vision of God always results in a lopsided Christian. And vice versa. If I'm a lopsided Christian, I have a lopsided vision of God. As we close our period this morning, I want to give you a very important prayer to offer. The prayer is this: Lord, open my heart completely to all that God is. Lord, open my heart completely to all that God is. Now, in that one prayer, you have enough to make you a complete man of God or a complete woman of God. And then that one prayer, I have enough to make me a complete man of God, a complete woman of God. Open my heart completely to all that God is. And that's what God does for Moses when he calls him. And that's how you account for the wonderful things worked through this mighty man of God. Let's have our closing prayer. And don't forget, please, how many of you still have papers there you haven't handed in? Now, don't leave with those, because that will make me very incomplete in my record. Be sure to bring them, please, at the close. Let's have our prayer. Please don't forget the rope. Now will you offer this prayer to the Lord? Lord, open my heart completely to all that God is. And then take the step of faith and thank him that he's doing it now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.